This evening we do begin a new book. We're continuing in John's works that the Lord worked through him. So we're in 1 John now, his first letter. John is after Peter, it's before Jude and Revelation. 1 John, and we'll be reading chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. 1 John 1. 1 through 4. Now let us now go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come boldly before your throne of grace and mercy because you call us to come, that we would praise your holy name, lift up our requests to you. And so, Father, we praise you that you have given us your word. And we ask now that you would fill us with your Spirit. Illumine our hearts and our minds. Show that light there. For your word is perfect. And yet we often cloud your word as it comes into our minds and in our hearts because of our sin. So, Father, rid us of this sin. Rid us of the darkness that remains. And grant us the pure light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to us. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. These are the words of the Lord. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And thus far in the word of the Lord. Have you ever, beloved, doubted something? Doubt that someone was telling you the truth. Doubt that what you've heard or maybe even believed was real. Doubt concerning the truths of Christianity as a whole, the gospel. Have you ever doubted the gospel of Jesus Christ? That Jesus died for all sins of everyone who would believe in him? That he might take on all the wrath which you today deserve? Being raised himself 3 days later in glorious exaltation and giving eternal life? Have you ever doubted that? Whether you're a Christian or not, have you ever doubted the old story, as they say, of Jesus and his love? I have. Amidst my sin and wandering thoughts, I have doubted, and you have doubted. You've thought to yourself, I've thought to myself, is this really true? It is. It is true. It is because it contains, as it says here, the word of life. The first thing we see from this passage is that we must believe in the word of life. Believe in the word of life. As an introduction or a preface to the book of 1 John, the apostle introduces us to the word of life. Or we might say reintroduces us to the word of life. He begins this letter by saying that this book is about the word of life. Immediately it should make you think back to the gospel of John. Much of what he says here should make you think back to the gospel of John. The apostle John's first writing. You remember the first verse of the gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? Well, most of us already know, since we went through the gospel of John, it is Jesus, isn't it? Jesus Christ is described as the Word. But the gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is, Jesus Christ did not just appear out of thin air when he was born of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus Christ was with God the Father and the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. John 1:3 even tells us that all things were made through Jesus Christ. So Jesus was there before creation, and He is the Creator. It says that Jesus was with God. Jesus was with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, in communion together. And finally it says, and the Word was God. So in case we got the wrong impression before in the first part of that verse, John 1:1, thought that there were more gods than one. John says not only was Jesus in the beginning with God, but Jesus is God. And so it sets the firm foundation for the Trinity. Three persons who are one God in eternal communion together. Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the Word of life. Verse 4 of John chapter 1, just three verses after the first verse, describes Jesus as the Word. It says, in Him, in Jesus, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And Jesus is life, eternal life. Jesus says seven chapters later, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so as John introduces, the Apostle John introduces 1 John, verse 1 opens by saying that Jesus is the Word of life. The same Word of life in the Gospel of John. Why does then John write this letter? Jesus Christ is the Word of life. Why is John writing this letter? What's his purpose in writing 1 John? Let's look again, remember again the purpose that John wrote in his Gospel. Why did John write the Gospel? Or why did the Lord, through John, write the Gospel of John? You remember John 20, verse 31, but these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. So John's purpose in the Gospel is that his hearers might believe in Jesus Christ and have eternal life. It's very similar to the purpose of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 shows us the purpose of why he's writing this letter. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That is, the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, is written that they may believe and have eternal life. John's letter, 1 John, is written to assure those who already believe that they really do have eternal life. The 1 John was written to assure Christians, to assure you, if you believe the Gospel, that you are. There are no maybes, there are no ifs. You are saved from the wrath of God, and that you absolutely have eternal life in Jesus Christ. The opposite of this is that it shows those who are not Christians that they do not have eternal life, and the wrath of God abides on them. The Gospel of John is written that you may be saved. 1 John is written concerning the assurance of salvation. And there's no way to lose this salvation from God, because God has given it to you, because nothing we know can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. God doesn't leave you nor forsake you. If you are justified, you have been declared righteous in God's sight. You can't revoke that. You've been justified. You will be glorified. Do you ever doubt the truth of the Gospel? The Apostle John is saying here, do not doubt. Do not be afraid of physical death. If you are Christ, then you are Christ forever. So what does John say in the first verse? He begins by speaking about the Word of life, Jesus, and says, what was from the beginning? Reminds you of John 1:1 automatically. What was from the beginning? The Word of life was from the beginning. Remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And Jesus, who is God, was with God before the foundation of the world. And John goes on and he says, what we have heard. John states of the Word of Life, we have heard Him. We've been in His presence. We've heard Him speak with our own ears. Reminds us of the end of the Gospel, at the death and resurrection of Christ. How many people heard with their own ears? How many people saw with their own eyes the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? So John's appealing to his apostleship here. He's saying to those who have not experienced Jesus Christ, who have never personally or physically been in the presence of Jesus Christ, I have heard. But it's not just I, it's we. We're not just John, but all the other apostles. All the others who have heard and seen Jesus Christ. They've heard Jesus Christ speak. Just as you hear with your ears right now, John heard Jesus Christ speak. He goes on, he says, what we have seen with our eyes. So we've not only heard Him with our own ears, we've seen Him with our very eyes. I, John, he's saying, I have seen Jesus. All the other apostles have seen Jesus. We've looked upon Him. And we've even touched Him, it says, with our hands. The Apostle John is saying, I have touched Jesus Christ. I have seen, I've gazed upon Him, I've heard His teachings. So John is saying, listen to me. Listen to me. I can tell you about Him. Jesus Christ is real. Jesus Christ is true. This concerns the Word of Life. Listen to me. You must believe in Him. He is real. His teachings, which I have taught, are true. Believe in Him. Believe in the Word of Life. Not only do we just believe in the Word of Life, but John calls us, secondly, the second point, to believe the Word was manifested. Believe the Word was manifested. It says, verse 2, that the life was manifested. The Word of Life was manifested. What's here meant by manifest or manifested is the incarnation. Not only was Jesus with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the beginning, but Jesus was manifested. He was incarnate. He descended to earth. He came to earth. The verse is talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. Here, John is bringing up the very fact that Jesus Christ, the Word of Life, was born on earth. He was incarnate. Jesus was manifested to us. Literally, Jesus was revealed to us. Remember what the Gospel of John said about Jesus' incarnation, verse 14 of chapter 1. And the Word, Jesus, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. What do we learn from this verse? One, that the Word is only Son of the Father, the only Son of the Father. Jesus is God. He's the eternal Son of God. We saw in Isaiah that He's called the Son there. So Jesus, who is the Word of Life, is God. But more than this, there are two main things in John 1, verse 14. The first is that it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus dwelled among the people of the earth. He manifested Himself to the people of the earth. He made His presence known. Yahweh making His presence known. God with us, the Emmanuel principle. And so we remember the Old Testament temple and tabernacle that symbolized the presence of God, foreshadowed what was to come in Jesus Christ, all pointing to Him, for He is the presence of God amongst us. Jesus, by His incarnation, His manifestation, was the presence of God on earth. Jesus dwelled among His people. That is the first thing we see in John 1:14. Jesus dwelled among the people of earth. To live a man's life, to be tempted in every way, and yet without sin. Jesus dwelt among people, His people. The second thing we see in that verse is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. This is talking about the humanity of Jesus. It talks about His deity, that verse does, and it talks about His humanity as well. That born of from the womb of the Virgin Mary, He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, fully God, became fully man. Jesus at the same time was and still is fully God and fully man. By being fully man, this means that Jesus has a true and real body. And Jesus took to Himself a soul with full reason, full thinking, just as we have. Jesus is fully God and fully man at the same time, still is, yet without sin. And this is important for us to remember, because without Jesus' coming to earth, there is no redemption. You couldn't be redeemed from your sins. You couldn't be reconciled to God. Jesus couldn't be a perfect sacrifice without becoming fully human. And He couldn't be the perfect sacrifice either unless He was God, divine, without sin. And Jesus is without sin. And He is fully man and He is fully divine. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of life was manifest. And as verse 2 goes on, it shows that John the Apostle continues to give the reason why we should listen to Him. John says that he again has seen this Jesus, this Word of life in full body. He is the presence of God. Now John says, I testify about my experience and I proclaim it to you. Jesus was manifest. He was fully God, fully man, without sin. And this was so that, what? You could have eternal life. Do you hear me? John says. I am proclaiming to you the Word of life, Jesus Christ, that you would believe in Him and have eternal life. He was with God. But as Philippians 2 says, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus manifested Himself for the purpose of dying on the cross, that you might have eternal life if you believe in Him. He is the Word of life. But do not only believe in the Word of life, but also believe the Word was manifested. Finally, you must believe in eternal communion with God. Believe in eternal communion with God. Remember John's purpose in writing 1 John? To give Christians assurance of their salvation. That you can be absolutely sure that you are a child of God. That's what John's purpose is in writing this letter. And so, it should be obvious that if you struggle with your assurance, that you should often come to 1 John. For that is why God has given it to us. John has reintroduced the gospel in the first two verses to remind his readers and his hearers that the gospel is absolutely true. That John himself has seen Jesus Christ and he has been and is right now testifying about Jesus, proclaiming to you eternal life in Christ alone. By faith alone can you be saved. And you can absolutely be sure of that, that you are saved by the promise. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That is the promise of God. And if you know that you are saved, then you can be sure that you have eternal life. John's gospel showed us that. That if you believe, you have already, present on to the future, you have eternal life. Believe the gospel. Why? John says, verse 3 in the middle of the verse, so that you too may have fellowship with us. John is saying that if you believe the gospel, then you'll have fellowship with us, the apostles, the disciples. For that is the reason why we preach Christ crucified. So you can have fellowship with John, the other apostles, and all the saints. As all Christians, fellowship with them. What does this entail? What does that mean? The verse goes on and says, indeed our fellowship is with who? The Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So you can have a relationship with not only the other saints, which is great and wonderful, but with God. You can have fellowship with the Father. You can have fellowship with the Son, eternal communion with them. Also, the Holy Spirit who is in you right now. Right now, what does this look like? It looks like worship. Our communion with God looks like worship. So right now we are here to worship God. We are here to praise His name, glorify Him. And all that we do, we are communing and fellowshipping with God right now in public worship. And this is symbolized even in what we are about to do in the Lord's Supper. Why it is often called communion. Because it is a communion with God, with Jesus Christ. Not only this, we are called to worship God in our private life during all hours of the day, in our sleep, while we eat, while we talk with others, while we read our Bibles, while we hear God's Word read to us, preached to us. This is fellowship with God. This is communion with God. But John's not just or only talking about the present time, right now. Because he's writing a book on assurance of salvation that you would know that you have eternal life. He's talking about an even greater reality, the eternal communion with God in heaven. Our public worship right now is just a shadow, foreshadowing of what eternal communion with God will look like. It'll be infinitely better than this. God is pointing us to the eternal communion with Him, where we will worship before the Father and the Son, with the Holy Spirit empowering us, working through us as we worship the Lord. If you believe the gospel, then be sure that you are communing with God right now. If you are saved, if you're a Christian, then be sure and believe that you have eternal communion with God in heaven, and you have already eternal life. Believe in eternal communion with God. If you believe the gospel, you will have that. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you are called here to believe in the Word of life. Believe that the Word was manifested. And believe in eternal communion with God. Again, have you ever doubted the truths of Christianity, the truths of the gospel? You ever had a lack of joy in the gospel? Have you ever doubted if you are saved or not, if you are a Christian or not, if you have ever come to a point of doubting your salvation, if you've ever had a slight hint of doubt or a lack of joy? Come to 1 John. Because it says even in verse 4, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. If you're a believer, that our joy, you're part of that. That our joy may be made complete. Often when we doubt, we don't have joy. We have no hope, no comfort. And John is saying here, listen to me. Listen to me. I have heard Jesus Christ speak with my own ears. I've seen Jesus Christ with my own eyes. He's real. I've touched Him. Remember why John is writing is to give you assurance of your salvation. So that you can be absolutely sure that you have eternal life. This could be your last opportunity. Could be your last day on earth. It could be my last day on this earth. At any moment our lives could end. In a second, it could be over. Do you doubt? Do you doubt what you've heard and learned all your life? Are you sure of your salvation? If not, do not panic. Believe in Jesus for salvation and you will have eternal life. And you believe in Jesus for salvation, having eternal life. Know that you have it. Have comfort in it. Have hope. Put your hope and trust in this. God's Word, God's promise. John is saying to you, if you believe, you have eternal life. God makes that promise through John. God never goes back on His promise. He is always, always faithful. For those of you who believe in Jesus Christ, you believe the gospel, God says you have eternal life right now. Do not doubt then. Believe it and be comforted. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the Word of life, Your Son Jesus Christ, who is manifested, being our Creator, being God, and yet was manifested And so it's fully God and fully man. As you sent him to the cross, where he sacrificed himself and shed his blood, that we would be saved from the wrath of God that was poured out upon him. Lord, cause us to believe this gospel. And that in believing, and we see the fruits of that belief and that salvation, Lord, give us assurance of our salvation. Give us hope and comfort in your promises. Testify with our spirit, by your spirit. For there are days, sometimes hints, sometimes long periods, years, where we doubt our salvation, those who have truly believed. Father, give them assurance of salvation. Give us assurance. And there are perhaps some here who believe they are saved, have assurance, and yet are not truly saved. Lord, use this, your word, as we go through 1 John, to show them that they are not truly saved, if they are truly not. Cause us not to have a false assurance of hope, but a true assurance, stemming from your promise to the gospel and the faith that you have given. Lord, those who may have a false assurance, give them true saving faith. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.